Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters and today we'll look into a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with incriminating emails between the State Department and a Canadian oil company which plans to build an oil pipeline from the tar sands of Alberta across the US to Texas. Kim Nguyen, the director of the Dirty Fuels Program at Friends of the Earth, who obtained these emails through a Freedom of Information request, joins us to discuss a cozy relationship where the State Department, instead of exercising oversight, is facilitating the oil pipeline. Then on the first day of a two-day meeting between Afghan President Karzai and Prime Minister Manmohan Singh of India, we will examine the strategic agreement just announced between India and Pakistan, India and Afghanistan that is bound to antagonize Pakistan. Ashley Tellis, who served on the National Security Council staff as a special assistant to the President and Senior Director of Strategic Planning and Southwest Asia, joins us to discuss the content of the agreement and its implications as India tries to fill a strategic vacuum with the impending withdrawal of NATO and the US from Afghanistan in 2014. Then finally, we'll try to assess the deteriorating health of Venezuela's Hugo Chavez and the likely power struggle that will follow his incapacitation if it comes to that. Javier Corrales, the co-author of Dragon in the Tropics, Hugo Chavez and the Political Economy of Revolution in Venezuela, joins us to discuss possible secession and the internal politics of this volatile and polarized country. And joining us now is Kim Nguyen, the director of the Dirty Fuels Program at Friends of the Earth, an environmental organization that recently obtained emails between the State Department and the lead lobbyist for the Keystone XL pipeline that provide evidence of a pro-industry bias and indicate a cozy relationship between the State Department and the Canadian oil company. Welcome to Background Briefing, Kim Nguyen.
Thanks so much for having me.
And I take it that you are involved with this effort to get these emails from the State Department through the Freedom of Information Act. This is the second batch of 200, is that right?
That's correct.
And are there more coming?
Yes, we do expect more documents to be forthcoming from the State Department. And we've so far gotten documents from four State Department offices.
But not from the Secretary of State?
Not yet.
I see. So, but the smoking gun, if you will, in these emails is that many of them involve the head lobbyists who served as Hillary Clinton's deputy campaign manager in her campaign for president in 2008, Paul Elliott. And it's these emails between Paul Elliott and diplomatic staff in the U.S. Embassy in Canada, in Ottawa, particularly the person involved with environment and energy issues, Marja Verloop, that particularly raise questions.
That's correct.
So just elaborate on that, if you will.
Sure. Well, we feel like these new documents that we've received from the second batch really corroborate that the State Department is not only simply biased in their role assessing the environmental impacts of the Keystone XL tar sands pipeline and whether the pipeline is in the national interest, but also has been complicit. They show a senior energy counselor, as you mentioned, Marja Verloop, who works at the State Department, cheering on unequivocally for Paul Elliott, who is TransCanada's lead D.C. lobbyist, as well as you mentioned, the former deputy national campaign director on Hillary Clinton's presidential campaign. And we see her cheering on Paul Elliott for his success, quote-unquote, in gaining an elected official support for the pipeline. This is extremely inappropriate for an employee of an agency that is supposed to be impartially, independently reviewing the pipeline. And we think that, again, it demonstrates that the State Department is not only biased simply in their assessment, but also that they've been complicit.
And the particular politician that Ms. Verloop congratulated Elliott on the good news that he had persuaded Senator Max Baucus of Montana to back the pipeline, she wrote, "Go, Paul." Now, of course, Montana, I imagine the pipeline is going through Montana, right?
That is correct, yes.
So tell me it's obviously that the Canadian company, TransCanada, chose the right lobbyist, did they not? I mean, this is the former deputy campaign manager for Hillary Clinton in her losing bid for president. Presumably he's got access. I suppose to that extent, you have to congratulate them?
TransCanada knew exactly what they were doing by hiring Paul Elliott. And again, as I mentioned, Paul Elliott was a former high-ranking aide on Hillary Clinton's presidential campaign. And in the emails, it confirms that in one exchange between Maria Verloop and Paul Elliott, Maria Verloop confirms that he was precisely, as she put it, hired because he has connections, and that he was sought after because he has connections with folks at the State Department. We have, from our first batch of documents received through our Freedom of Information Act, those documents also support the notion that that Paul Elliott was using his campaign ties during the Hillary Clinton campaign, the presidential campaign, to gain high level meetings with employees at the State Department.
Well, apparently, the State Department, their role is key in this, obviously, because they're the ones that will recommend to the president whether or not this pipeline goes ahead and is built between the tar sands of Alberta and refineries in Texas, crossing a number of American states. So they're obviously, the State Department's decision is critical. However, what has already happened here, from what I understand, Kim Nguyen, is that the State Department picked a consulting firm to write the environmental impact statement on the Keystone Pipeline, and they chose a company called Cardno Entrix, whose chief clients was TransCanada.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that is putting Dracula in charge of the blood bank.
Absolutely. I mean, we really think this is very precisely an incident of the fox guarding the hen house. And it's important to remember that we're receiving these documents from the State Department, and that these documents are not appearing in a vacuum. Rather, they're occurring within an entire context in which there are already very, very serious concerns about the State Department's bias, and that these new emails are really particularly damning, given that Secretary Clinton made a comment last fall 2010, that she was inclined, quote-unquote, to approve the pipeline as well as to approve the pipeline. And this was before her agency was even able to complete a comprehensive environmental review of the project or go through the process of national interest determination. We also know that these documents, these emails, exist in concert with a WikiLeaks document indicating that State Department officials, quote-unquote, alleviated Canadian officials' concerns and provided them with messaging advice. And as you mentioned, there's been a lot of controversy around this third-party consulting firm, Cardno Entrix, that had been brought in by the State Department to complete the environmental impact statement and also to run the hearings that have been happening all through the last couple weeks. All of these things really add up to a monumental case of extreme bias and complicity at the State Department, and we think it's entirely unacceptable.
And, of course, surprise, surprise, the environmental impact report by the company that is closely associated with the TransCanada, who are the who are lobbying the State Department for permission to build this pipeline. The environmental report said that there'll be no significant impact on the nearby land and water resources of the various U.S. States that this pipeline would traverse. Again, I'm speaking with Kim Nguyen, the director of the Dirty Fuels Program at Friends of the Earth, an environmental organization that recently obtained emails between the State Department and the lead lobbyist for the Keystone XL pipeline, emails that provide evidence of a pro-industry bias and indicate a cozy relationship between the State Department and the Canadian company. So I think as bad as these things are, Kim, that you've uncovered through the Freedom of Information request that you put forth to the State Department, and as you mentioned, there's some more coming. Perhaps they may involve the higher up, including the Secretary Hillary Clinton. But what we know now is pretty damning. The State Department officials in July advised the Keystone XL pipeline that the pressure that they wanted to put the crude to ship the crude under was too high and wouldn't be allowed in the United States and wouldn't win political support. But they suggested that they should lower the pressure requests, and then later they can reapply once the project's underway to up the pressure. I mean, talk about leading the witness.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, and this further provides evidence of the type of coaching and insider information and support that was given to TransCanada officials from the State Department. The exchange that you just mentioned, actually, between Maria Verloop, and some of her other cohorts at the State Department, demonstrates that throughout this process, the State Department has really been making it a priority to make sure that TransCanada is "quote unquote" comfortable and on board with the entire process. And again, this bias is extremely unacceptable for an agency that's supposed to be acting in the public interest and assessing this pipeline on its science-based environmental merits. We think that this is absolutely atrocious, what's been happening, what's been uncovered, and President Obama really has a responsibility to rescind the permitting authority from the State Department, given that it can no longer be trusted as a credible arbiter on Keystone XL.
Well, what is clear about these emails that you've uncovered, Kim Nguyen, is that the people who are dealing with this very important issue, I mean, it's so important, for example, that the chief scientist at NASA, Jim Hansen, says that if this project goes ahead, and all of this incredibly heavy carbon, dirty fuel is transported to refineries in Texas, that it will be game over for the environment. And as you know, thousands of environmentalists have camped out in front of the White House and they've been arrested, including Bill McKibben, who has an op-ed piece in Tuesday's New York Times condemning this cozy relationship that you've uncovered here between the State Department and the Canadian company. But what is clear about these email exchanges is that none of these people have any expertise. All they have is connections. And the State Department's job is to do an environmental impact, not to massage the Canadian client of the Hillary's former deputy campaign manager.
That's right, Ian. I think we would agree with you there. Their job as an agency here was to look at the science and look at the potentially catastrophic impacts of the Keystone XL tar sands pipeline. And they've failed. They've been called out by other federal agencies for having failed to assess the impacts of Keystone XL. The Environmental Protection Agency, the EPA, actually gave a draft environmental impact statement of the State Department a failing grade, Category 3 failing grade. And it's obvious that the State Department really cannot be seen as a credible arbiter on the Keystone XL pipeline question anymore. President Obama can and should immediately rescind the permitting authority for the pipeline.
Well, what would that mean, though? He has to make the ultimate decision. So what's going to happen here is that the State Department will approve this pipeline or rescind it. But if they approve it, then the decision then goes on to the president, right? It's their recommendation that goes to the president. He's the ultimate decider, right? As George Bush used to say, I'm the decider.
So what's essentially what's essentially happened is that President Obama, through a presidential, through an executive order, has given the power to approve or reject the pipeline to the State Department. So he's given them, because it is a transboundary pipeline that crosses from Canada through the United States, it has ultimately been given to the State Department to decide. But President Obama can take that back. He can rescind the permitting authority for the pipeline from the State Department, and he really should. Here we have a president who ran on the campaign promise to end the days of lobbyists setting the agenda in Washington. That's a direct quote. And meanwhile, his own State Department has been shamelessly facilitating handing over the Keystone XL pipeline to big oil firm TransCanada when they were really supposed to be conducting an independent, science-based analysis.
And what about the states over which this pipeline is going to cross, from Alberta down to Texas, Alberta, Canada down to Texas? So tell me about the states that are involved. And has Paul Elliott, Hillary's former deputy campaign manager, now chief lobbyist for the Canadian company that want to build the Keystone XL pipeline, presumably there's been some lobbying going on with state governorships and legislatures. That would be, I think, fairly predictable, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, our documents, we don't have documents that show that. I think it's a safe assumption that that was indeed happening.
Well, that's why he got Senator Max Baucus, right, the senator for Montana, on board.
Mm-hmm. Well, it shows that he did email to a list of State Department employees that Senator Baucus had come on board in supporting the pipeline. And as far as evidence that shows that he was active in lobbying Senate and legislative offices, you know, I can't speak to that because our documents were specifically targeted at correspondence between the State Department and Paul Elliott. But I think it's safe to assume that he was. The State Department is about to complete its hearings in all the states that the pipeline would go through, plus one in Port Arthur, Texas, and one in D.C. this week. And I think one thing that has come out from these state hearings is that this pipeline, there's unprecedented public opposition to this pipeline, and millions of Americans are opposed to this pipeline. Thousands showed up throughout all the states that the pipeline would go through in opposition to the pipeline. And this is actually in the face of quite a bit of bullying and aggressive tactics on the part of TransCanada and other on the part of TransCanada to bring in different tactics to ward off opposition. But all of this of course is important context, but the really important thing to remember here is that, again, ultimately this is President Obama's decision, and this is ultimately a question of the amount of power that corporations have in Washington. And what President Obama can do to keep his campaign promises to end the days of lobbyists setting the agenda in Washington. And what he really needs to do is rescind permitting authority for the pipeline from the State Department, because it's been shown that throughout this entire process, given all the evidence from all the documents we've received, given Secretary Clinton's comment last fall that she was inclined to approve the pipeline, and other information that was released through a WikiLeak that the State Department was providing messaging, advice, and coaching, all of these prove that the State Department is no longer trustworthy as an independent arbiter, as an independent judge of whether Keystone XL pipeline should be
approved
or not.
Well, clearly they haven't been an oversight agency. They've been a facilitator, and clearly choosing the company to do the environmental impact study already connected to TransCanada, and that this company needs to say found that there'd be no significant impact on the nearby land and water across these United States, these states that are affected. That should get people out in those states. Because we simply can't take their word that this pipeline, whose pressure has been deliberately down, the pressure inside that pipeline has been deliberately downplayed, and they once they get the permitting, then they're going to up the pressure, meaning there's more likelihood of a leakage. So, thank you for joining us. I appreciate the work that you've done, Kim Nguyen.
Thanks for having me, Ian.
Again, I've been speaking with Kim Nguyen, the director of the Dirty Fuels Program at Friends of the Earth, an environmental organization that recently obtained emails between the State Department and the head lobbyist for the Keystone XL pipeline. Emails that provide evidence of a pro-industry bias and indicate a cozy relationship between the State Department and the Canadian oil company. We're going to take a brief station break, and we'll be back talking about the strategic deal that has been signed between India and Afghanistan that is likely to antagonize Pakistan.
When it gets down to the cities, then the water turns into a dirty gray. It's poisoned and polluted by the people as it flows along its way. Don't go near the water, children, see the fish all dead upon the shore. Don't go near the water, water isn't water anymore.